He said, can you do it tonight? And I said, absolutely. And so it's a privilege to be able to speak on behalf of the Lord. He's telling me to turn this mic on. I think I just got it on. There we go. But it's always a privilege when you get to represent the Lord God and what he has done for us. I don't ever hesitate to speak, and I was just telling Brother Raymond a little while ago, years ago, I was in between churches, and I went and visited a pastor friend of mine on a Wednesday night, and he happened to look back in the back, and he said, oh, Brother Larry, man, it's so good to see you. You're preaching tonight. I looked at my Bible. I had nothing back there but a little piece of paper like this here, and guess what? I put a message together in about 15 minutes. Well, this one here took more than 15 minutes. Amen. Turn your Bible to the book of Jonah. We're going to be talking about Jonah tonight a little bit. And exactly what Jonah did, the problem he got into, and how that this will relate also to churches and church members. We're going to be talking about getting on the wrong ship. You see, when the God, Spirit of God speaks to us, we have a choice to make. We can either take and do what God wants us to do, or we can rebel. Jonah rebelled against God because he didn't want to go to Nineveh because Nineveh were a bunch of Gentiles. But not only that, we find when we study the Bible that Elijah was called of God to do a work, and he did it. And then God had him go to the brook Cherub, where he took care of him, fed him with ravens, but he made sure he was taken care of. Now, on the other hand, Moses was told a command of God to take him to speak to the rock. And him and his attitude, he smote the rock. He lost the blessings of God because he rebelled against the Lord God. And so this is what we see in the life of Jonah here. And I'll relay that, how that happens also in the Christian life and in our churches. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa, and he found his ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof and went down unto it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord sent out a great wind unto the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. Then the mariners were afraid and cried, every man unto his God, and cast from him the wares that were in the ship and unto the sea, to lighten it of them. But Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship, and he laid and was fast asleep. So the shipmates came to him and said unto him, what meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon the God, if so be that God will think upon us, that we perish not. Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, your hand to be upon us tonight, Father. And Lord, as you've given us the privilege to break the bread of life, I pray, Lord, that we can see the great mistakes that were made by Jonah, and God, how it not only caused him problems, but all those that he was associated with. Go with us, dear God, this night. In the name of the Son, we pray. Amen. And so we find here the ship was sailing in the wrong direction that God commanded him to go in. And Jonah knew what God wanted. He knew about the mercies of God because in chapter 4 and verses 9, you'll see where he mentioned to God, I knew that if I went there, you would forgive them. And I didn't want to go there because I didn't want to see them forgiven because they're Gentiles. And so God, that's the reason why I'm running from you. And so this is the way Jonah was reacting. See, he rebelled against God's authority. In 1 Samuel and chapter 12, you don't have turn, but you can write it down. But in 1 Samuel chapter 12, I want to share something with you. And you can mark your Bible. And you can make notes of it. But in 1 Samuel chapter 12, God, in speaking to the children of Israel, is warning them about their attitude and about the things that they were doing. But here in 1 Samuel chapter 12 and verses 15, and this is what God had to say. Howbeit, because by thy deeds I'm in 2 Samuel. All right, Preacher Sparks. There's Samuel, chapter 15. My fingers don't turn these pages as good as they used to because two of them are short. Not chainsaws either. But here in 1 Samuel chapter 12 and verses 15, I'll get in the right one yet. These pages are slick over years. All right, here we go. Moreover, as for me, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord and cease to pray for you, but I will teach you the good and the right. Only fear the Lord and serve him in truth and with all your heart, for consider how great things he has done for you. And so we find that we're being instructed to fear God. I mentioned that this morning when I was teaching you. And see, he was rebelling against authority of God. He was rebelling against message. He said in verses 2 there, he said, cry out against them and Nineveh, that great city, and cry out against them. And so we find not only that, but he was rebelling against God's method. This is an issue I find in our Christian lives today. There's a lot of things that goes on in the ministry. A lot of things that goes on behind doors, which usually the members of the church are not aware of it. And as a leader of the church, God will give certain instructions for a pastor and the direction he wants him to go in. But a lot of times when that happens, we find there's a certain rebelliousness that takes place. And we don't want to listen to the pastor. We don't want to listen to what he's telling us. But we find over in the book of Hebrews, if you examine it, you'll find that God says to obey them that have the authority over you. God will tell me, and he has over the years told me about certain things that's going to happen, certain things that's happened, and how to deal with it. But we find here when God gives us specific instructions, we need to take and do exactly what God tells us to do. And Jonah felt if he went there, he was mixing himself with a bunch of people he don't like. Well, there's a lot of people out there that I don't like. But I still talk to them. I still witness to them. I still tell them about Jesus. I still tell them there's a hell and there's a heaven. You make a choice of which one you're going to. And I remember one day that I was at work, and I was up here at the parts counter, and we're up there, and this guy was standing up, and he said, well, Jesus, this. And I said, whoa, whoa. He said, what do you mean? I said, do you know Jesus? I said, is Jesus your Lord and Savior? He said, no. I said, well, quit taking his name in vain. I don't want to hear it anymore. He shut up real quick. But you see, we have to. Jonah felt that, you know, if he went in another direction, that God would ignore him, and God would then bring somebody else to do the task that he called him to do. And a reason why folks leave the church is because they're upset with God's method, God's message, and what God wants to do in the church, and they'll just take and get an attitude, and they'll leave the church. Listen, I've been around too many years, and I've been in too many churches, and I reorg too many churches. And I remember when I was in the church in Moultrie, Georgia, Maranatha Baptist Church, and we were having a meeting. I had a meeting with all the men, and a deacon stood up, and he said, this is my church, and we're not going to do this. I said, well, if it's your church, then me and the men are leaving because you can have it. I'm not going to have a church that God is not involved in. He shut up and sat down. But you see, you'll run into that. In this picture of us, God is speaking. Listen, we reject authority, we rebel against his method, and we refuse to submit. And a lot of times what happens is something happens and we get upset. Now, I'm gonna touch home here for a minute. There's been some disagreement and some murmuring about the camp. I'm going to say this from my heart. We have no right to murmur, to disagree, or to say anything about it, because the one who stands behind this pulpit is following the directions of God. And in following the directions of God, we have to understand that God is in control. And I've been praying about it. And I said, God, if it's your will, everything will go through smoothly. If not, you'll close the door. But I'm not going to get mad at the church. I'm not going to get mad at the pastor. I'm going to follow him. See, because there are situations in our Christian life that we don't like. Listen, I've had people get mad at me over the minorest things. Well, you need to shake my hand. I'm not coming back. Well, I didn't mean to ignore you. But when I came out of my office and I came in an auditorium, there's a lot of things that goes on there. And so people get an attitude, and this is what happened to Jonah. See, he got a bad attitude. And so he decided, well, if I go in a different direction, because the ship was going in a wrong direction, if I go in a wrong direction, I leave church, I quit, I do this, I do that, God will forgive me for it. I'll just go to another church. Can I say this? When you leave a church and you got a chip on your shoulder, you're going to do nothing but hurt the other church you go to because you're still carrying that sin with you of disobedience and rebellion against God. I'm not going to go no further on that. You see, the ship is destined for trouble. Troubles will come when you and I purpose in our hearts to go against God's instructions. In Acts chapter 27, you remember Paul was, he was a prisoner, and he was getting ready to take and sail with a ship. And he looked at the master of the ship and all, and he said, you need not to go anywhere. You need to stay right here because I perceive there's going to be a storm. And the shipmaster looked at him and said, well, listen, this is my ship and my cargo I got to carry. I don't care what you say. I'm going that direction. And so what happened? So we find that the ship took off. We find that the ship was sailing pretty smoothly. Then all of a sudden, God sent a storm. And so what were they doing? They were taken and fighting for their life. If they listened to Paul and what Paul was telling them, and Paul said, listen, you need to stay here. Don't sail. But they went. I love what he said later on. After they threw everything off, after they put all the ropes around it, tied it up and tried to do everything. Isn't it nice when you can say, I told you so? I told you so. You should have listened to me. My wife, 52 and a half years. Every once in a while, she could say, well, honey, didn't I tell you so? You might as well stab me with a sword or something. Amen? Because, hey, I had a wonderful wife. My kids will tell you. But what we have to understand is that ship that Paul was on, they could have avoided the foreign storms they were going into. But they didn't. And he says, and then we find here in chapter 1 and verses 3, and he's fled from the presence of the Lord, so he thought, where can I go, where can I run that God won't find me? You can't run from God. There's no way you can hide from God. And so when Jonah thought he was running from God, we find that he did something that everybody else would do. He went down. And verses 3, now let me read the whole thing. But Jonah rose up, flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof and went down unto it. And then you look a little further down, you find he went down into the belly of the ship. I don't know, on the road, he could have went to sleep. Years ago, when I was in the Marine Corps, we were on a ship. And I was sailing on my way from Hawaii, where we stopped over on the way over to Okinawa. And that ship was hitting a storm, and we were like this. Woo! And you, every time the rudder come up, you feel the ship just shake like that. And I got seasick. I mean, I was selling Buicks over the counters. And I went down to the mess hall, and I went in and I seen the chief messman down there, and I said, sir, I'm hurting. I need something. He gave me a pack of crackers, and he gave me a can of sardines. He said, go over there, sit down, eat those sardines, eat those crackers, and you'll be fine. That may sound funny, but after I got done eating the sardines and eating the crackers, it settled my stomach down. I could thank you for that. But see, here these men were. We find that Jonah went down to Joppa, down to Tarshish, and down to the hall. And when we run from God, we are going down. You mark it down. When you are running from God, you're sitting at home and you're doing nothing and you got a chip on your shoulder and you think that you're hurting the church, but you're not hurting the church. You're hurting yourself and you're disobeying God. And we're going to go down when we do that. And that's the sad thing is people don't realize it when they take and get all puffed up like a toad frog. that they think that they're going to hurt the church, but you're hurting yourself, you're hurting your family, and everybody associated with you. And so Jonah was going down to the bottom. And when you go down, you're going to take somebody with you. See, he was destined, and you're going to be destined for the same way, trials, tribulation, and troubles. I don't know how many times I've had to deal with couples. And I would tell them, I said, now listen, this is what God's plan is for you from the Word of God. And I always carried my Bible with me. And when I went to a family, I always carried my wife with me because we were partners in crime. And I would sit down and I would talk with them. I'd say, now this is what the Word of God has to say. Do not do it. I had a friend of mine come to me one time, and he started having his independent Bible studies away from the church. And I told him then, you don't take the members that are coming to our church and take them off and start having independent Bible studies without the pastor. He says, well, there's about 15 of us, and we decided to start our own church. I said, God has never called a pastor to leave a church, start his own church with members from the church he's leaving. You're not in the will of God. You're not my friend anymore. And I clapped my hands like that, and I said, I'll see you. And I meant that. Why? Because when you run from God and you're going to take and do your own thing, and it all boiled down to there was one woman who tried to tell the preacher how to preach, and he told her to get out of the office. He's going to preach what God lays on his heart. And so she decided to have Bible studies, and she decided to split the church using a man from the church. And that don't happen. And there are folks that left here. And there are folks that leave other churches. They'll do the same thing. Well, we'll just get our own pastor, and we'll do our things. Well, God's hand's not in it. And so Jonah, see, when Jonah, he was sailing in the wrong direction. So you can't expect God to bless you. You cannot be out of God's will and walk with God and not go into a storm. I have this wrote down here because I've said it many times. You're either going to be going into a storm, you're going to be in the midst of a storm, or you're going to come out of the storm. But it's all right when you're going through those storms to strengthen you in the cause of Christ. But when you're out of the will of God, you don't want to go through those storms. I have been through them. I have been whipped by God. I'm going to tell you something. And them whippings were never easy. Why? Because they don't leave no stripes, but they sure tear your heart up. They tear your soul up. And so we find here that it is a storm that could have been prevented. You see, when you and I'm talking about myself, don't spend time in prayer and in seeking the will of God, what he would have, we're going to be just like Jonah. We're going to be going in the wrong direction, and we're going to be causing problems. God brought this storm onto Jonah because Jonah was out of the will of God. And you're going to find out when you are rebelling against God, because in 1 Samuel 15:23, for rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. I can't say it no plainer than what God has said. A rebellious person is a hindrance to themselves. They're a hindrance to their family. They're a hindrance to their church. They're a hindrance to everything in and around them. Why? Because you cannot talk to a rebellious person. They know everything. You can't talk to them. And they'll tell you, I know it. I know what you're saying. I know this. I know that. And they're going to do it anyway. And so here what's happening here, we find that there was a lot of things going on there in that ship. Everybody on that ship was being affected, all of them, even Jonah. And Jonah did not care. He didn't care. Just throw me overboard. It's all right. Just throw me overboard. And this is the thing a lot of Christians are doing. You see, your sin will find you out. In Numbers 32:23, be sure your sin shall find you out. But they cast lots, and the lots fell upon Jonah. And see, you find out that all the problems that everybody was going through and everything that the ship was going through was because of one man. It only takes one sour apple rotten apple in a church to ruin the church. It only takes one person out of the will of God. I've seen it. Let me tell you something. I'm saying this in my heart because the first church I took had a split because a man was a religionist. Well, you women can't do this. Listen, we had a lady in the bookstore. In fact, the Bible she gave me, I have at home. It's a large print. I was looking at it today. She worked in the bookstore, and they had them ladders on the sides that roll up and down on rails, and the shelves are 12 feet high. She was going up there to get them, and she was wearing slacks. And he criticized her because she's wearing slacks going up there. He says, God said, wear not that which pertaineth unto a man. Well, what he didn't say was that was to the Jews only. And that was under the law, and I'm under grace. But he split the church over little things that didn't make a difference and didn't matter. And this is what happens a lot of times. When you've got a rotten apple in a barrel, that person don't get right, everybody that's on that ship is going to take and have troubles. And this is what's happening. Listen, it's not only here. It's happening everywhere. Why? Because the devil is not going to give up until he can destroy the churches. Thank God for a Supreme Court that ruled on Friday that New York cannot shut down the place of worship. They are free to open up and have their services. But you know what? There are some churches that will not have services today. I'm with the preacher. So if they come and take him, I'm going to get in the pulpit. Amen. I'm going to preach the word of God. I'm going to stand up for God. And so the ship is affected. And so we find here when we are not careful and we're not looking out, we're going to fall. We're going to get into trouble. You remember Achan? And you hear people talk about Achan in a camp? Mm-hmm. And what did Achan do? He was given instructions. Whatever you do, don't take nothing. Leave it. He went into battle. He came home. He dug in his tent. He buried the Babylonian garments. He buried everything that he got there. Buried the treasures there. And he covered it up. And he says, nobody's going to find me out. God said, watch it. The next time Israel went in battle, they lost. And they drew straws and it fell on Achan. What did you do, Achan? Well, I saw, I lusted, and I took. Did God just kill Achan? No. He killed the whole family. One man's sin took a whole family down. One man's sin can take a church down. One man's sin can take his family down. A man that is not walking with God and for God, when he pulls out of the church, he takes his whole family out. Don't cry later when your children start going out this way. Because you're to blame for it. Because you turned your back on God. See, that whole ship was suffering because of one man's sin. And anytime a person will give himself over and quit, that's what's going to happen. And so we find here that anytime we take our eyes off of God and we take our eyes on self, and we start looking at ourselves and not keeping our eyes on God, we're going to take and affect all the cargo of the ship. It affected the working hand of God's Holy Spirit. Listen, when a person is out of God's will, I wrote these three down. It'll affect the working of God's Holy Spirit because there's discord and division. It'll affect the home because there'll be disillusionment, divorce, and discontentment. It'll affect your walk with God because depression, discouragement, and downfalls will come. And that's what's going to happen when a person thinks that they're smarter than God. And that's what Jonah did. He felt, well, I'm not going to do it. I'm going to leave it. God can get somebody else. But you see, it cost him. When Jonah got upon that ship, you find out in verses 3, so he paid the fare thereof and went down. Once he boarded that ship and he started going in the wrong direction, God already knew he was going to get his attentions. And any time you rebel or we rebel against God, remember there is a price to pay. It'll bring a great affliction. See, I have this down here, and you probably heard it before. Sin will take you further than you want to go. Sin will cause you to stay longer than you planned to stay. and sin will cost you more than you can afford to pay. You may not pay for it today, but I've been around and I have seen families that fell out of church, and I've seen how their children came up afterwards. I've seen a family that they thought that they were better than anybody else. They happened to be best friends, a man and a wife. In fact, he talked me into buying my first house. But she thought that her kids would do no evil. But at the same time, she was not in the will of God. She was doing a lot of things she shouldn't have been doing. And she kept that going. And her oldest son was arrested for stealing his father's gun and selling it, for stealing his father's credit card and using it. Their oldest son spent time in jail because mama thought she was better than anybody else. She knew more than anybody else. And she destroyed her family. And that happens in our churches today. We have people there who think that they're better than anybody else. And so Jonah, when he got thrown into the water and the whale swallowed him up, I can just imagine what he was going through down there. In the belly of that whale, and that whale taking in all that water and that sea grain there and all that trash and all coming through him. And Jonah was floating around in that mess and that trash for 3 days before he finally come to his senses. A lot of times we have to go through the same thing. I am cast out into thy presence. See, he experienced a time when the very presence of God was missing from his life. When he went into the belly of that whale, and if you read it and you study it, you'll find out he actually went down where Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob were in hell, Hades. And he was there without God. The loneliest a person could be is walking without God. Not having him there for you, not having him walking with you, and seeing you decay, and here he was in a situation down in the belly of that whale, and as, like Jesus said, as he spent 3 days and three nights in the belly of the whale, Jonah died in that whale in his experience. The very presence of God was gone. He was totally defenseless. He was at the mercy of God. It brings a time of absolute. And it's sad that people have to get to the bottom of the rotten apple barrel before they'll look up and say, God, I am so wrong. I did so wrong. Many times they won't. And they'll die rather than say they were wrong or they were sorry for what they did. Jonah was in a position where he couldn't argue with God. And so we find that his rebellion, his choices and his action, he paid. It cost him. It was costing the men on his ship. They were throwing all the wares off the ship. It was costing them everything, their livelihood, because here was a man that was told to go to Nineveh, and he said, I'm not going to do it. And there were people that will give their whole family up and allow them to go to the devil rather than stand right with God and doing what's right. There are individuals in churches that are sitting in churches today. They come into church with a chip on their shoulder. And they say, well, knock it off if you can. And that's their attitude. Because they already came in church rebellious. They came in church with things on their mind and on their heart. And rather getting down to the altar and say, God, be merciful to me, a sinner, they'll walk out the same way. They'll walk out with that chip. Well, I'll get that preacher. Well, you know what they do when they leave church? They have roast turkey on the way home. They're roasting the preacher, they're roasting the church, and they have nothing good to say about it, and they wonder why their children fall out of church. They wonder why the children don't come to church. And it's because of that very simple fact. He said, my soul fainted in me. He said, I remember the Lord, and my prayer came unto thee. It was a prayer of confessing. It was a prayer of promise. It was a prayer of gratitude. Isn't it sad that a person has to get that low before they wake up? Isn't that sad that people will leave church, cause problems in their home? And I'm serious, divorces have come into Christian homes because there was a spiritual problem in a home that they would not rectify. I'm like the pastor. I have canceled with a lot of people over the years. In fact, I have things in my files right now of canceling and questionnaires that I give to them to answer so that I can take those answers they give me and I can look at what's going on in their marriage. And I had this couple that I've been canceling with on Thursday nights. They had two wonderful daughters. They weren't even allowed to ride a bicycle because the mama was hysterical. Somebody might kidnap them. That wouldn't happen. She wouldn't have them go out in the backyard and play with the swing set and all that there because she was afraid that something would happen to them. So they had a swing set and never got played on. They had bikes that they could never ride. And so these things are going on in the family. And me and the wife, this is probably about the third or fourth session. And I looked at her, and I looked her right square in the eye. I said, the problem with this marriage is that you are creating all the baggage and you don't want to claim nothing and you want to blame everybody else and say it's your baggage. I said, I can't help you. Leave. And I didn't cancel with them anymore after that. You see, there are folks like that in church today. You cannot help them because they don't want help. And this is what happened here. And we find that Jonah, he was confessing, God, I made a mistake. God, I promise you I'll change. And then God, I'll do whatever you want me to do. And so this is what we need to do as Christians. We need to understand when we made a mistake, confess it, get it under the blood, and walk as a new person in life. Don't let that pride and that attitude and that arrogance drag you down like it did Jonah. But people will do that. And don't make promises unless you're going to keep them. Too many times they make promises and they won't keep them. I used to have a gentleman would come down to the altar, and I'd get down there and I'd pray with him. I said, brother, what's bothering you? I have a terrible habit, preacher. I said, what's your habit? I'm smoking, and I can't break it. I don't know why. I said, you got cigarettes in your pocket now? Yeah. Put them on the altar. Got a lighter? Put it on the altar. Leave it there. Oh, but I'm my wall woman. I said, listen, you're asking God to take away. I said, let me tell you what I did. When I got saved, I was smoking. And God, I prayed and prayed. I said, God, this is not a good testimony. I said, God, I want to get rid of it. And God showed me in my prayer, it's not the cigarettes, but it was the desire for them. I said, God, take the desire away. It wasn't a couple of days later, I lit one up, and that was the worst tasting thing ever in my mouth. I threw it in the trash. I threw my lighter in the trash. I haven't touched one since. And that was back in 1970. I haven't had a drop of liquor since 1970. When I got saved, they were under my cabinet. After I got saved, they went down the drain. I didn't give them away. And so I made promises to God. If we're going to make promises, then we got to be grateful. God, thank you. God, thank you. Listen, I hear it all the time, and I share it with you guys. I am so blessed. When I wake up in the morning, I am blessed. When I put my feet on the floor, I am getting a bonus. And when I can walk in the kitchen, and yes, if I'm eating Cheerios again for the 10th day in a row, that's all right, I eat my Cheerios. But I eat my Cheerios, and I use my 2% milk, and I have my breakfast, and I got the two dogs down there begging for it. I thank God for it. I got something else I thank God for. I thank him for the pain. Because it's nothing for the pain that, like my Lord, he went through on the cross. And what he went through and how he was treated and mistreated and all that. And I thank God for the pain. I'm in pain 24/7. But my Lord, I tell you, they really done him in. But here's another thing. It was a ship of lost joy. It could have been a time of great joy. It could have been a time of rejoicing and praising God if Jonah had got on the other ship that would have taken him up to Nineveh and took the gospel to them and shared the word of the Lord with them. He lost that joy. He lost out on being able to take and stand back and say, thank you, God, for saving those souls. Thank you, God, for what you're doing in Nineveh. He had a pity party after God saved him. He said, I knew you were going to take and save them, God. I knew that. That's why I didn't want to come here. But let me tell you something. There is no greater joy than sharing the gospel with somebody about Jesus Christ. There's no greater joy than that. I had a young teenage boy that was my son's best friend. They went to high school together. And all day long, and his father came to church a couple of times, and it was a hit and miss thing because he wasn't saved. But this particular day, God laid on my heart all day about him. So when I ate supper, my wife said, what are you going to do? I said, I got to go over see Ken. She said, what's wrong? I said, honey, he's been on my heart all day long. I got to go tell him about Jesus. So I went over to his house, like God laid on my heart, and we were there in the den, me and him and his wife and his son, and I'm witnessing to him and talking to him. And this went on about 30 minutes, and I'm flipping scriptures and going through that like you do. And finally, I looked at his wife and his son. I said, why don't you two go back to the bedroom and start praying? And they went back to the bedroom, and I'm still talking to Ken. I said, salvation may only come your way one time. I said, this may be your last chance that God will speak to your heart about getting saved. I said, I've shared the gospel with you. What are you going to do? About that time, tears started rolling down his face. He fell down on his knees, and he started screaming out to God, oh, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Oh, what joy there was in my heart. Let me tell you something. I was happier than his wife and son were. Why? Because I had that joy of winning somebody to Jesus Christ and taking them out of the grips of Satan. Boy, that thrilled my heart. See, a time of rejoicing, a time of respecting, reaping the lost, and a time of rewards all went down the drain when we as individuals turn our back on God and we refuse to walk where God wants us to walk. God will never put more on us than we can bear. God will never take and send anybody from across town, across the street to see what I'm doing. But you mark it down, God will send them for miles around to see what God is doing in the church. And God will honor a church and bless a church that honors him and blesses him by sharing his word. Amen. So tonight I ask you this question. Are you a Jonah before his shipwreck, or are you a Jonah afterwards? The choice is ours. Heavenly Father, thank you, dear God, for being so good and so gracious. And dear God, I pray that tonight, even those that were at home listening and watching, I pray, Lord, that you spoke to hearts. Lord, each of us will examine ourselves, Father, and make sure, dear God, there's nothing between me and you that would hinder the joy that I could have in walking with you daily. Thank you, dear God, for what you've done and what you're going to do. Be with our pastor. I pray, dear God, that you'd raise him up. I pray that you'd remove that little cold from him, Lord. And Lord, that he would be able to be back in the pulpit, dear God, the next point of time. In the name of thy son, Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. You're dismissed.